God. I'm going to say he's faithful to the word of God, faithful to the vision, faithful to the call. We don't sell out for the numbers. We don't sell out for the gifts. We don't sell out for the money. We have the numbers, we have the gifts, and God provides the means. You don't have to sell out to follow the will of God. You only have to sell out to Him. Okay, let's get started. Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to Matthew 22. And starting in verse 37, the Word of God says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." By the way, have you ever wondered why God gave the law? Because it was not given for righteousness' sake, we know that. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's not given by righteousness' sake. Righteousness is a gift of God. The law was given in James 2:8 for a very simple purpose. Teach us to love one another. What was it? Because Jesus gave a new commandment. He said, "Love one another as I have loved you." That was the commandment. It says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The law was given to teach us in a practical way how to love one another. Now, we talk about loving God, we talk about loving one another. But one of the things I think that commonly happens to Christians is they forget what love actually is. I think very commonly in Christianity people think, well, if I love God, I have this sense of adoration, reverence, almost like a sympathy towards Him of sorts, or an affection, that's the word, like I have an affection for Him. But that's not what it is. Every time God says about our relationship to Him, He uses a word that we usually think filial. We usually think some sort of an affection and appreciation, and certainly we do have those things. But that's not what He's saying here. He's saying agape. Now, there's two things about agape, and one of them we normally think of. We think unconditional love, and that's correct. But there's a second component of agape that I think sometimes escapes us, especially as it relates toward God. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, the Word of God says that agape is first patient and then kind. So what we really got here is a character of unconditional patience and kindness. Now, what Jesus said here is have unconditional patience and kindness towards the Lord thy God. We don't really think of God needing patience and kindness, but He does. He does if we're going to walk with Him. He does if we're going to have a meaningful life with Him. He does if we're not going to step out of the plan of God. We need an unconditional patience and kindness toward God. See, this is what happened to Peter. Peter loved God with a filial, and he said that in John 21:15. But he didn't love God with unconditional patience and kindness. This is why he could walk away from the will of God. Because his love for him was based only on an emotional appreciation, but it wasn't unconditional, and it wasn't patient, and it wasn't kind. See, the thing about love is it's first a mental attitude, patience, and then a practical expression, kindness. Okay. So he didn't have that mental attitude. He didn't know what it meant to have tribulation in his life, to go into a trial, and love God in that trial with unconditional patience and kindness. By the way, do you know why God asks you to wait? God asks you to wait so you can build patience, the first characteristic of the love of God in you. This is why in Romans 5:8 it says, "We're glory in tribulation." believer. So if we're going to be conformed into the image of Christ, then we're going to have to be conformed into the image of God's patience, God's endurance. And so if I'm to have the character of God, I need those things in my life that will cause me to have the patience of God, that will cause me to have the kindness of God. Can you imagine what would happen in our lives if whenever we reach a difficult situation, we start to approach God with patience and kindness? Whenever there's a prayer that isn't forthcoming immediately, we approach God with patience and kindness. But how many times do we pray and we say to God, why didn't you? Why won't you? Why don't you? That's not patience and kindness. That's not the love of God. Now, we can't work that up. We need to receive that. That's what John told us, right? We need to receive that. We love him because he first loved us, but that's not the love of God. Now, God understands, he knows what we mean when he says, I want, didn't you? But what we're really saying to God is, God, you didn't do what I wanted you to do when I asked you to do it. And God says, I know. You see, in Habakkuk 2:3, the Word of God says that the vision is yet for an appointed time. And though it tarries, wait for it. Because when it does come, it's not going to be slow in the coming. I'm paraphrasing here, but it's not going to be slow in the coming. When it comes, it'll come like gangbusters. So wait for it. Learn the character of God in the waiting process. Now, I spent a lot of my life waiting. I think a lot of us have. We spent a lot of our lives waiting. Why? Because the waiting process is the valuable part of the outcome. The waiting process is the part where God works on me. Now, how many times have we heard that we go to the mission field, for example, and the first person that we're there for is ourselves? That God's primary goal is to work on us. And we appreciate that. But then when the waiting process comes in through which God works on us, we don't appreciate it so much anymore. We look around and we say, okay, what's going on here? Okay, why isn't this working? What am I doing wrong? And God says, nothing. You're doing exactly what I asked you to do. What are you telling me? And this is what the Word of God says in Isaiah 40, that they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They that get the patience of God and the kindness of God will renew their strength. They that have the character of Christ in the circumstances of their lives have a renewed strength. And so God says, wait. Why? Because in Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. See, have you ever considered why people lose faith? Because they're not patient and kind. Every time that I get anxious, every time that I get impatient, every time that I get nervous about stuff, it's because I'm not being patient. I'm not living in God's attitude at that moment. But imagine that I am patient and kind towards God. Then no longer will my circumstances dictate to my emotions, but rather the character of Christ in me will dictate to my circumstances. And so in all my circumstances and all the things that I face, whether it is outward or inward or family or whatever it has to be, I simply operate in patience and kindness because I receive it from my Savior. See, when the woman Mary, when she washed Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears, and he was rebuked for that, he said, she that sins much, loves much. Why? Because she that received a great deal of patience and kindness has a great deal of patience and kindness to give. So I operate in that which I receive. example that we're receiving from the promises of God. Patience and kindness is not an easy thing for me. It's not a natural thing for me. But it is something that I can have on a consistent basis with a constant influx through meditation on God's word, God's character, God's promises, God's heart. It is something that I get as I'm constantly being built up in the word of God and being transformed into his image with a cross being worked into my life and a practical outward manifestation. You see that patience and kindness is unconditional. God's patience and kindness for me is unconditional. And therefore my patience and kindness towards the things of God in my life is unconditional. I can say to myself, it's not going really well. What am I looking at? You see, that looking at things, that's what the tree of knowledge was about. The tree of knowledge was all about knowledge gained by the empirical sense. Study it out, it's a real value. But it wasn't the fact that they used it anymore. It was how they used it anymore. They didn't know good and evil at that point after they ate from that tree, from believing of the Holy Spirit, from definition from the Word. They didn't know it from their fellowship with God at that point. They started to look around. How do we know that? Because Adam said, I saw that I was naked and I hid myself. That's exactly what God told them would happen. By the way, whose tree was the tree of knowledge of good and evil? In Ezekiel 30:18, it was Satan's tree. Ezekiel tells us that the trees represented angels in the garden. That was Satan's tree. Why? What did Satan do? Satan did that exact same thing. Satan challenged the angels on the exact same thing. Pastor Stevens has taught us from Ezekiel 28 that when Satan trafficked his merchandise in verse 18, that merchandise meant that he went up to angels and he challenged them. What did he challenge them with? Well, I personally believe that he challenged them with the tree of knowledge of good and evil in a heavenly sense. In other words, the word of God is forever living in heaven. That tree of knowledge of good and evil was not new to the garden. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was defined in his word. So, I personally believe that Satan challenged them exactly to that. Said, was God just? Evaluate for yourselves. Fallen man is going to have a redeemer as perfect angels or not. Is that just? And certainly we know that the angels have said, no, it's not just, but it's fallen. But I believe that the angels have said, it is just, well, just as easily. Why? Wrong answer. The answer is the Lord rebuked me. That's what Michael said to Satan. That's what Jesus in Zechariah chapter 3 said to Satan. The Lord rebuked me. Why? Because he wasn't going to stand in judgment of Satan, and the angels stood in judgment of God. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, we do the same thing sometimes. By the mercy of God, we're not, we don't have their faith. But we do the same thing. We look at a circumstance and we say, God, what is this? God, why did you do this? God, how could you? God, I don't like this. And God says, how would you like it? And then you start thinking about that one a while and you change your mind. You see, unconditional patience and kindness for God protects me from the true knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because an unconditional character of God is in my heart. I'm not going to be looking for my circumstances to be one way or another. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for our circumstances, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I'll see the hand of God and I look at him, and I want for my God. That simple. This is why God told the Israelites to look at the brazen serpent. circumstances, they lost unconditional patience and kindness because they stopped receiving unconditional patience and kindness. And so as we gaze at our Savior, as we gaze at God, we develop that patience and kindness. Can you imagine what would happen if families operated that way? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, where the Word of God says, husbands, love your wives. And I think sometimes we hear that and we think, have an emotional affection for your wife. And certainly there's nothing wrong with that. You do want that. But it's still there. And it's talking about agape. Husbands, have unconditional patience and kindness for your wife. Now, it says in the verse prior to that, in verse 24, wives, submit to your husbands as the church does to the Savior. Why? So she can receive unconditional patience and kindness. That's why. And as she receives it, she reflects it. And so, that whole thing about where am I looking is so important. And having that unconditional patience and kindness for them. And 2 Timothy in 4:10, Demas forsook Paul because he had unconditional patience and kindness for the world.
Unconditional patience and kindness of God.
which is in Christ, is how often do we think we're going to be separated from the unconditional patience and kindness of God? Now, we know that God will never leave us and forsake us, and we often repeat that to ourselves. We know that God will not reject us, and we know positional truth that we're accepting the beloved. But I think if the truth were told, a lot of us in our hearts, we get to the point from time to time when they say, oh man, that's God. Now we try to correct it with doctrine and somehow it doesn't fit. We're still a little bit nervous. We're still a little bit condemned. We're still a little bit not feeling right with God. The fact of the matter is that at that point, we don't know that nothing can separate us from unconditional patience and kindness. That our sin didn't separate us from God's unconditional patience and kindness. That our weakness doesn't separate us. That people do not separate us. Satan himself cannot separate us from God's unconditional patience and kindness. See, this is why the woman at the well, or the woman caught in adultery, this is why they met Christ the way they did. They met unconditional patience and kindness. That's what drew them to him. This is what the Pharisees could not stand against. They could not stand against unconditional patience and kindness. They couldn't stand against the character of God. And when Jesus challenged them and said, be among you who is without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone, they couldn't stand against that. What was that? Unconditional patience and kindness. Now, unconditional patience and kindness didn't wink at sin. He did tell her, go and sin no more, after he ministered to her. After he took care of her abusers, after he took care of condemnation, after he took care of the capacity. And then he said to her, what I'm sure in the heart desire anyway. So go and sin no more. Once you meet the unconditional patience and kindness of God, sin loses its luster. Why? Because it's not unconditional patience and kindness. Sin is cruel. And so we no longer desire it. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, that I have not seen or be heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that have unconditional patience and kindness for him. Why? Because in that unconditional patience and kindness, I'm going to learn to rest. And I'm going to learn to live. Why is it that people sometimes don't receive what God has for them? Because they're not willing to live. They're not willing to have the character of God established in their own character, in their hearts. They want what they want, and so they don't wait. A person like that, God wanted to bless, but it's the coming from its source. Now, I'm not saying God will abandon them. He'll bring them back. But the process is going to be a lot harder. He's going to go after them the way the shepherd goes after the one lost sheep. But the process is harder. Wouldn't it be better in our own lives not to undergo the difficult parts of the process? Because we step out, because we work unconditionally patient and kind to God. You see, there's the thing about the unconditional. I have to trust them. It's unconditional because sometimes I don't have reason by sight to believe except for the promises of God. And so I have to trust the promises of God. And if I trust the promises of God, then it becomes unconditional. If I trust the promises of God, then I'll have a capacity in my heart to simply believe what He said and lean on that faith. Whatever it happens to be, whether it's a call, maybe you feel like you're a pastor or a missionary or just a young person hoping to be married someday. Young people, your unconditional patience and kindness before you profess it for another person. I think that's one of the reasons why God has young people living sometimes. Because if you don't have the character of God, then you get married, good luck. We need that unconditional patience and kindness in order to have a right family, in order to have a right relationship with your spouse, in order to be able to initiate to your wife properly or to respond to your husband properly. You need to have that unconditional patience from God. You see, it's all about getting to know Him, and it's all about getting to be conformed to His image. And if I'm going to, you know, get to know the One who in 1 John 4 is love, and if I'm to be conformed to the image of the One who is love, then I'm going to be conformed to the unconditional patience and kindness of God. The beautiful thing is that this place is where I'll find my life. What is that when I finally find it? It's the cross. It's not striving, it's not self-denial, and that's not. The cross is simply entering into the unconditional patience and kindness of God. Where it's no longer I that comes. It's no longer my life that Christ is life. In Galatians 2:20, if I have Christ's life from the cross, then I'm also going to have Christ's character. That's unconditional patience and kindness. That's why the Word of God says in Jude 21, it says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for mercy. I always wonder, why is the love of God saying He's looking for mercy? Because it's the unconditional patience and kindness of God. Keep yourself in the love